The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
From Eric Slater, creator of Epic Fails of History, comes a bold new vision of the future in his latest book, 2299. 2299 is a sci-fi noir about a detective on the edge of the abyss. While investigating a cold case on Vanaheim, a space station orbiting Neptune, Desmond Faust finds himself ensnared in a web of lies and murder. The closer he gets to discovering the truth, the more aware he becomes that he might not leave this place alive. Eric Slater's 2299 is available now on Amazon.
Everybody, and welcome back to the RPG Years, your one-stop shop for all things JRPGs from the past, present, and the psychedelic weird future where you take loads of speed as a detective. Yes, hello everybody, and welcome to your one-stop shop for all things JRPGs. Today we are going to be talking about Disco Elysium. My name's Bill.
And I'm Frost.
And yes, we're going to be talking about Disco Elysium today. So, I think Frost beat this game probably 4 months ago, maybe five, maybe six.
Not quite, but I played ahead of the club myself, so I did a little earlier than even I should have, but I think it's burned into my brain enough that I can't forget it.
The unforgettable experience of Disco Elysium. There is certainly some crazy, crazy stuff that happens in this game. And it's fun that you can
a lot of wall looking.
It's fun that you can actually sort of do it in different just different patterns. Do you know what I mean?
Right, it's non-linear.
Very non-linear.
Yeah.
Because I played there's a part of the segment we're doing today, which I actually did during the last segment, and I managed to get the crater open, and it just blew my mind. It's so strange. But yes, before we get into Disco Elysium, let's have a little catch up, Frost. So, Frost, what have you been playing the last couple of weeks? Because obviously, we've been playing Legend of Dragoon.
Legend of Dragoon. We're two segments in now.
Yeah. We are. Hopefully.
And well, I am. I don't know.
Hopefully, I'm playing catch up on a few things. So I haven't started the second segment yet, but hopefully, by the time you've listened to this, I would have already finished, completed it, and me and Frost would have talked about it.
Yes. So hopefully, we talked about this last week.
Yes.
This is much like Disco Elysium. This podcast is non-linear.
So. Yeah, we are very, very non-linear. In fact, actually, it's probably not even worth talking about this because it will change by next week's episode. Just like we discussed when we talked about doing the news today. Yeah,
no news today.
No news today.
News in 3 weeks.
Yeah. No real catch-up because it's going to be confusing. So, but we do have an episode topic, don't we, Frost?
We do.
Some guy called Frost put this in the Discord. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, so it turns out that Walmart, which if you're unfamiliar, is basically the largest retail chain in the US, has decided they are going to stop selling physical video games in sometime in 2024. So I'm glad I bought that disc version of my PS5.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
I mean, that's, I really bought it hilarious. So that I could play my PS4 games. I mean, you know, because you could pop them in and still play them.
Well, I mean, where do people buy their discs from these days, though? Do they actually go out to Walmart and buy them, or would you buy it online? Where do you normally get yours from, Frost?
So mine are usually mail order from Amazon or Best Buy, but I will occasionally get used games still, which that wouldn't affect Walmart at all. But I guess if there's less being sold at Walmart, there's less used copies floating around theoretically. So that might also be a downside to this.
Yeah, because then also that's going to affect the market of pre-owned video games.
Right,
it's expensive enough to buy Skies of Arcadia now. I can't get hold of the PS5 version.
Yeah, and I almost... So I have seven remakes coming out very soon. And this was the first Final Fantasy game where I was like, am I gonna do digital? Because when the first 7 remake came out, it was the pandemic had just hit and all the shipments were being delayed, and I didn't get my game for like a week after everyone else had started playing it, and it was kind of off-putting. And I also realized that it's just a pain in the butt to have to pick up a disc and put it in to play a game. But I really want the Steelbook. So I don't know. I was kind of torn. I ended up getting a physical copy, but this might be the last. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do 17 physical. After
what's become of society, mate? When we can't, where we're too lazy to put a disc into a console to play it. So it's like, I could download it. I think your comment there spoke volumes for why Walmart getting rid of disc media.
Yeah, perhaps.
Because I imagine they probably buy a lot of stuff as well, like early, and like at full price from the distributors, only for it to then sit on their shelves for a long time and then them have to discount it.
Yeah, that's true. Unless it's a Switch game, then it will never be discounted.
No, Switch games never lose value, which is a big thing that really bugs the crap out of me. I just want to buy a game cheap that's been out for 5 years, but no, Breath of the Wild. Even after the sequels come out, still fucking 50 quid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of in two minds about this because obviously when you buy something digital, you're not actually buying it. You technically lease a license to the product while it's available on that platform. And again, this is where Nintendo absolutely just does the opposite to what every other company in the world does. And this is why they shut down the old platforms quite quickly. Because even when Sony have gone to shut down like the PS3 and the Vita platforms, they've kind of kept them alive. So I can still, you know, Breath of Fire 4, for instance, I've got that, I own that on PSN. I can still go and download that. But once they shut those services down, that is then lost to me and I don't have the license to the game anymore. You know, in a legal kind of sense.
Right, yeah. There's no way to play Breath of Fire 4.
I don't think Breath of Fire 4 is available digitally on any other platforms. So no, there is no other way to play Breath of Fire 4. No. It sucks.
Yeah, and this was a big deal when they closed the Wii Shop. Mm-hmm. Because people had... that's the only place... The Wii and the Wii U is the only place where you could play The Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker, and... what's the other one? I'm blanking. The one
I was
going to
say Twilight Princess, but I think that has actually now come out.
Twilight Princess, yeah. Yeah, those are the two that... are only available, those HD versions of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are only available in the Wii U. And it's like, well, what? Why don't you just release this on the Switch? But they haven't yet. I don't know why they haven't.
Twilight Princess got released on the Switch, didn't it?
Nope.
No, I thought it had for some reason.
No, Skyward Sword did.
Oh, Scott. Yeah, sorry. That is what I was thinking. But yeah, it's strange because I think I remember seeing somewhere that there was something like only 14% of old video game media. So I think this was from like games from before the year 2000. Only 14% of those games are currently available on modern platforms.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of like, that's a huge percentage of like video game history that isn't available anymore. And this is the worrying thing. It's just like, yeah, it's fine that the PlayStation 5, like, because again, being in two minds about this, because yeah, I like the fact that buying things digitally creates less waste in our physical environment. Do you know what I mean? I don't have a lot of space in my house to store things physically, like games. I know, I've got too many kids' books.
I have a giant box in a closet just full of DVDs and CDs that I've already digitized, but I'm keeping as just in case.
I think, isn't that called the endowment psychology or something, where you will love watching a film more that you know that you own it physically?
Well, I know
because
that
it's
there's
more
a...
part of your life because you've actually held it in your hands, and I think they call that the endowment.
I think so.
The endowment thing. I could be wrong, but yeah, it's worrying.
I
because
know...
you're then at the like I say, owning a license to a game. You're at the mercy of the people who own the servers and keep these things alive. And if they start shutting down the PS5 servers, who knows if 7 Remake Rebirth the Third will ever be available to people in the future.
That's right.
But yeah, it kind of sucks. But then also, yeah, I think as a company, it probably makes sense for Walmart because then most people will just buy their stuff physically. Because it's not like they're going to stop making discs, you know. That's up to the game companies, isn't it? If they're going to stop making discs of stuff. But it's just about making sure things are available in the future for me.
Yeah.
So that future generations can go back and play really naff manor games where you have to have sex with trees.
Oh. I can't believe Legend of Mana didn't win.
Oh, yes. We can actually say that now, can't we? It got a few votes. It's all right. Right, okay then. Well, have you got anything else to say on digital media?
No, I just... it seems like it's inevitable at this point, and we'll see it, you know... The one thing I guess we didn't discuss was that the whole... those retro... There's people making retro physical... retro copies of physical media, right? Like, what are they? Like, last... I forgot the name of the company, but it's like Last Chance Games.
Oh, Limited Run.
Limited Run, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Excuse but me. You can get stuff off of them. There's also there's loads of companies on Etsy and stuff where you can, like, I believe they are knockoffs, but you can buy like old NES games that will actually work on an NES.
Hmm.
And like they're not
yeah,
even, that,
just
they're not even that expensive, to be honest. They're only like £20.
Oh.
And when I look at that, I think that is really tempting to get like a brand new cartridge that you know is going to last 20, 30 years of an old game, and you can still play it on your old hardware. Again, I don't think it's technically legal, but
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah, definitely not. good old Ahar Yar. Bit of the Yar hole in a bottle of rum. fun time. Did anyone else give us any good comments?
So we have some feedback. Gazraki, because Gary,
yep,
says he's heard about this. He's digital on Switch, and he has PS5 because he uses his portal, so he doesn't want to have to walk down to the basement or wherever his PS5 is to put a disc in, just to walk back upstairs and play it on the toilet. So. but he has physical on Xbox, although he has been using Game Pass a lot, which is a whole other thing. But he thinks if the change does happen, there's going to be a lot of upset people with the loss of their physical media.
Game Pass. I don't know. I assume it works the same way as the as like the Sony PS Plus subscription. But I remember being very upset after sort of being like, you know, I don't really use my PS4 anymore, so I cancelled my subscription. And then I had some games downloaded from the PS Plus. And I went to play, I think it was Day of the Tentacle. Sorry. And it didn't work because I was no longer a PS Right. Plus member. I was like, it said on the screen this was a free game. Like, I thought I'd already paid for this. I didn't realize I had to keep my subscription up. It really bugged me. Like, it seems more obvious with the Nintendo subscription. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. As soon as I stop subscribing to this, I'm going to lose access to these games. But PlayStation said it was a free game that I could download, and then it wouldn't let me play it because I'd cancelled my subscription. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. I forgot about that. It suddenly triggered me when you said about Game Pass.
Legend of Aerobi says, I want to say I'm not a fan of this, but I've been buying digital myself lately. Then you talked about ASDA.
I love the way you said that. We had some feedback from Marn as well, who said he's running out of display shelf room, so maybe this is for the best.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, there's a big shopping there's a big supermarket in the UK called Asda. And they are owned by Walmart. So I assume that means that they're going to stop selling games as well. Just by, you know, the parent company.
and then Gizraki, Aerobi, and Abrac seem to all confirm that Best Buy is getting rid of physical movies but keeping games. And then parentheses, it says, for now.
Dun, dun, dun. Yep. And then also Mike, still a brony, says there's a shop literally called Game over here who aren't selling pre-owned games anymore so they can give more shelf space to toys. Which is it's disappointing. Like, Game was never my favourite shop to go to and buy stuff, but it was always like, if you needed something, they had it in Game. And then, yeah, when the pre-owned stuff started coming in, they used to have shelves full of it. But I guess now the only store we've got left is CEX. C for caterpillar.
Okay.
I wanted to spell it out because everyone calls it sex. But it's with a C, okay? they only sell like pre-owned stuff. So you can go in there and get pre-owned movies, pre-owned Blu-rays. Do you remember Blu-rays?
I still have some.
I know. It's like the Betamax of the future, isn't it? It won, but it's still lost.
Well, it's still, there's still something about, for some reason, with films, like getting a film, you know, a disc and putting it in feels more like an experience.
An endowment. Endowment.
You were sort of talking about, yeah.
It's endowing your ego. But you were the one who earlier said that you were too lazy to put a disc into your PlayStation.
Yeah, well, it's more because I have children who want to play a different game. And normally I put a disc in and it's in there for a month and a half, right? Let's do it once. But my children want to play different games, so I have to constantly be swapping them.
Month and a half's generous. I sometimes turn on my PlayStation, there's been a disc in there for like 5 years. I was wondering where my copy of Final Fantasy VI was.
Yeah. 13 still in your PS3.
No, I had to get it out because my PS3 burnt out. But then I bought a new PS3 and it's sitting here. Yep, Tales of Vesperia is sitting in it. No, not Vesperia. Zestiria. When I bought my PS3, I bought Tales of Zestiria with it. And then I put it in there to test that the PS3 was working when I got home. And then it's sat there ever since. I'm gonna open her up soon. Clear out all the dust and put some new thermal paste on the CPUs and GPUs. So that'll be my next little project. Oh, I also got two broken Game Boys as well, which I'm going to fix up.
Sure you are.
And currently don't power on. I've got Game Boy Color and a Game Boy Advanced from Mike. So I'm going to fix those up. I love fixing things. It's a little mini hobby of mine.
Hopefully it goes as well as when you tried to fix your PS3.
Well, in fairness, my PS3 went pop and then a bit of smoke came out of it. So I didn't have much hope that was ever going to work. You know, I've got some good tinkering skills, but I don't have like master technician skills. Yeah, that no, sort of thing. My IT skills are mostly in like software deployment.
Yeah, I teach electronics, and we tell the lab students that circuits run on magic smoke, and when the magic smoke comes out, they won't work anymore. So
I like that. Yeah, and that's sadly what happened to my old PS3 Fat. I miss you, girl. Anyway, anyone else?
Yeah, Abrak and Caslow were talking about how GameStop, which is sort of like, I guess, Game over there, I don't know, have now dedicated over half their store space to Funko Pops and merch. I guess just to sell it to Scott.
Oh, yeah. What are those things Scott buys? Aminos?
Amiibos.
Oh, Amiibos.
Amiibos.
Yeah. I still don't know what they are, but the button infuriates me in Breath of the Wild when I accidentally click on it. I probably spent about 20 minutes trying to work out what the Amiibo button was before I realized it was some sort of toy that I didn't have. It's like, what is this thing? Why have I got this Amiibo option in this game? What does it do? It doesn't do anything. I'm so old. Anyway, should we talk about Disco?
We should.
I'm sure I had a Disco drop here somewhere for some sort of Disco music.
I'll just do it in the background.
First of all, Foster, do you ever get to do the actual disco in
this game? That is a spoiler.
Oh, okay. Don't spoil it for me then. But
I'll tell you that the name comes up in segment. It should be segment 3, but it depending because it's nonlinear. But you should see it soon. Okay. Segment 3 or segment 4.
Yeah, because I have to say, I was really. I remember with people on the Discord during these segments being like, have I finished this segment? And I would always respond with, when you get there, you'll know. I was being a bit of a dick about it. And then, yeah, playing through this segment this week, I was a bit like, oh my God, I'm still talking to all these people. Nothing's really happened. And then I suddenly got to the point where I looked at the window in Khajiit's room, is it? And it showed me where all the bullets...
Some with a K.
Yeah, it showed me where all the bullet lines were going. And I was just like, oh, he's reconstructed the murder. I've moved on.
Right.
I need to stop playing right now.
I was playing, and what happened was I ended up doing half of segment 3 before I finished segment 2.
Mm.
But anyway, we should say that this segment was to play from after you get the body down to after you interview all the witnesses.
Yeah, it was basically interview the witnesses, and then the next segment is reconstruct the murder. But again, this game's just so non-linear. I'd kind of done, because so the people we need to speak to in this segment was Everett Clare, who again I think I'd spoke about this during segment 1. I'd managed to do the jump from above Kuno's shack, which got me into the container yard round the back. And then I found the guy in the container whose face is all like contorted into light because he's so rich, which is still boggles my brain. And then I spoke to Everett Clare, who is just like, basically with Everett Clare, he tells you all about, I know you've lost your gun. And he's the one who tells you your name as well. And you find out you're called Harry. So I'm glad that I did that early so that I knew that I was called Harry. But, you've got to talk to Everett Clare. You've got to talk to Joyce Messier, who is the lady on the boat from the Union.
Yes.
Yep. Then you've got to interview the smoking witness and the Sunday witness, I think he's called, the other guy.
So the smoking one was the guy on the balcony.
Yep. Who basically just lets you into his apartment to talk to the high-ranking government official. I think they're called the Sunday witness. Is that right?
I don't know if I talked to... I know I talked to... Was it Titus?
Yeah, but he's in the bar, isn't he?
Yeah, him and the you have to interview Titus and his the members of the union, the Hardy Titus Hardy and the Hardy Boys. That's right. And then the last person you have to interview is the woman you met when you first started the game, who was sort of in the second floor alcove there when you came out of your room, the one in the room next to you.
Yeah, Khaleesi.
I called her Khaleesi, but it's not that.
No, it's not that. Despite the fact they say her name many, many times. I still don't feel like I could say that properly. But yeah, that's basically it. You have to speak to all of those people and kind of get through their quests. And I'd already done most of the Everett Clare stuff, although I decided to stop because I realised he was just making a mug out of me, making me do all of his dirty work. Did you do all of his little quests that he asked you to do, Frost?
Yeah, so I did. So I'm trying to remember because I did like segment 2 and 3 like at the same time, mostly, but because I never went up the stairs to I never found out about Khaleesi or whatever. Kazley. I'm going to look up that name somewhere. But I never found her. So I just kept going because I was like, oh, I haven't. And I just going and going. And then I ended up doing segment 2 and 3 mostly at the same time. But the stuff for Everclear, I was basically, I got there and he's like, oh, you got to find your gun and you got to find your whatever. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever you want. I was just doing it. And then I'm getting all this psychic damage from being, from basically not standing up for myself. And he makes you sit in that chair, and the chair like almost killed me.
Yeah, because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, the uncomfortable chair almost killed me. I was like, all right, what is this game? That was the point where I was like, what is going on?
Do you remember how you got in there? To the container.
So I fought the skinhead guy or the giant.
You fought Measurehead.
I did because so I've been playing. I played with full physical attunement, and my secondary was the intelligence one, like the logic one or something. Yeah. So I've been sort of brute forcing my way through stuff. Like if there's a door, I'll just kick it down. If there's
Did you punch Kuno?
I did. So I managed to just punch Kuno. We got to the point where it was like, it said, you know, punch him. And I was like, yeah, you know what? What the hell? It was really funny because then he talked normal for like 10 minutes after that, like for a good bit of the conversation. It like reset his brain.
Well, so he doesn't talk in third person.
No, he just went back and his accent was like gone too. And it was like, what's going on? And then eventually he came back around to being Kuno again. But
oh, brilliant. So speaking of that, I found a speed run for this game. There's an actual speed run category for punching Kuno. So you start the game, okay. You've got to punch Kuno as quickly as you can. And the world record is like 59 seconds.
Wow.
they just gun it downstairs. Quickly talk to Kim, get outside, they go up and punch Kuno. It's brilliant. It's so funny.
Speaking of Kim, so depending on when you talk to Kim and get the body down, he leaves for most of the day, right, to have the autopsy done. Did you have Kim with you when you were doing these interviews? Or
I was very lucky. Because I'd got the body down, like, it was like 9 p.m. on day one. So he left then, and then I basically like walked around for a bit on my own, couldn't really figure out what to do next, and then went to bed. And then he was there in the morning. So I didn't spend any time without him. But I've seen on Reddit posts and stuff about, doing stuff without Kim. And everyone just says it's basically pointless because Kim's interactions are great.
They are. So I did most of these interviews without Kim because he left early on the second day. And then I did all my interviews while he was gone. And I think that made it more difficult because he's sort of a stabilizing presence in some of the interviews.
Yeah. So. He quite often leads some of the interviews as well for me.
Yeah, so I didn't have that, so I had to do them myself. So that must have been interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see the difference between him being there and him not being there.
Also, while we're speaking of Kuno, one of the things I did during this segment was I broke into Kuno's dad's flat to steal his dad's drugs and then give them to Kuno.
Okay.
I don't know if you
did
that.
I did not do that. No. Have you been taking drugs? Because I played without taking any drugs.
Yeah, no, I have not taken any drugs yet, although I do have drugs on my possession. I took some choice pills out of Khaleesi's Khajiit's. Kalaje. I took some drugs. Yeah, I took some pills out of her cabinet. I think she had some like morphine pills or something. And I had to, because Kim was with me, I had to do a check so that I could basically palm them so he didn't see me taking them.
Sleight of hand check. Yeah,
yeah, I like those. And then, yeah, then I got the speed off of Kuno's dad, gave it to Kuno, and then he went halves with me and gave me the other half, which Kunoese didn't really like. And then this is where I got a lot of background on Kunoese, where apparently Kuno found her in the shack. Basically, she'd pissed and shit herself, as politely as possible. And she's basically a wild animal, and Kuno's actually just like terrified of her. And apparently she's killed people. And it's just like, I got this really like deep thing going on with Kuno, where he basically like, because I helped him get these drugs, he just became like my friend. And it's just like, oh yes, I'm finally friends with Kuno. I've achieved it.
I don't think I talked to him again after I punched him.
So. Yeah, no, I did. I think the main thing that I did during this segment as well was the talking with Joyce Messier.
The lady on the boat.
The lady on the boat, yeah, who's with the
She's
union.
The rep from the shipping company.
Yeah, that's it.
Shipping company. She's from the company, and Eldard. What's his
name? Wow, well done.
Ennard? Ennard? Whatever his name is from the union.
Oh, Everett Clare.
Everett.
Yeah.
Ennard.
Yeah, Everett's from the union, and he's well shifty. And Joyce is from here, and she's got all these like political connections and stuff. And I got a bit stuck here for a while because there was a quest which I'd picked up from her and then forgotten about. And I didn't realise I needed to do that quest to kind of progress things with her. Which was the jam quest, where you had to learn about all the drug smuggling from the lorry drivers.
Oh, the traffic jam.
Yeah.
Yep, I did that one.
Yep, cool. Yeah, so you had to go out and you had to learn, and you had to learn that there was basically some woman involved. The female lorry driver, they call her. And I don't know who she is yet, so I assume you probably do.
Yeah, I ended up finding that, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things of this game, like, obviously, you finished it, so you know a few things. I haven't finished it, and I'm a bit like, I feel like the female lorry driver is really important to the story, but there's no doubt in my mind that you could probably finish this game and never even find out who she is. I'd be like, yep, she was not even needed to, didn't even need to know about it. Like I say, I did all this stuff with Kuno thinking I was finding out some really important lore that's going to help me figure this stuff out. And you punched him at the beginning of the game, then left him alone.
Yeah.
It's just like, I do really like this game. But yeah, essentially I had to find out who the drug smuggler was by talking to all the different lorry drivers. And there was one lorry driver who I got on really well with. He was kind of near the sort of south end of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his name. But yeah, he was... he was like a really
was
nice
he selling
guy.
Things?
Pardon?
Did he was he a shop too?
Oh
Did
no,
he sell
no.
Things,
or? He was just above the shop guy, and sort of to the west of the lady who's like really spaced out.
All right,
but yeah, he was. I wish I'd remembered his name. But yeah, I got on really well with him. But then I had to do a. It was basically like. You know, as Harry talks to himself in his brain, in his different parts, in his horrific necktie, it's sort of like there's something missing here. And then I did a skill check, and I basically broke his spirit. by talking about the fact that he was in love with this female lorry driver, and then he was just like, he suddenly just hated me from there onwards. Whereas like I'd really steered the conversation to being best mates with him, and then it's just like, oh, now he hates me. But yeah, I had to work out the jam mystery and go back to Joyce in order to sort of prove my worth before she sort of let me do whatever I needed to do next, which I think she gave me some information that led me to Titus Hardy. I've got no idea. Or it might have been the smoking.
I don't know if Everett talks about him too, because Everett's like, of course, Harry, who do you think did this? It's like, so did you, how far did you get with your interviews with Hardy? Because I don't want to spoil anything else, because you end up interacting with him quite a bit. So
yes. I mean, there was a few skill checks I had to do.
So I did want to mention that. So there are four. So most of the skill checks you could fail and it's not a big deal. It just changes your path. Mm-hmm. But there are four skill checks in the game that are critical path. And three of them have to do with talking to Titus.
Really?
And the first one you probably had to do, which was an authority check, just to get him to talk to you in the first place.
Yes. And I did I did fail that.
But yeah, you fail again, it and you go back and you get
yeah,
get
I had to go raise my authority. So I went up and spoke to I think it was I failed it, and then I went and spoke to the smoking witness, which is probably why I'm getting confused as to how I unlocked Titus. But I think I got a I've been very careful with when I get a level up, because what I want to do with my level ups is I want to unlock my, you know, when you can go in, you can do like mind faults or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Because I think to get past Measurehead, I had to do a mind fault on his racist rhetoric stuff. And then in the end, I just called
him in the face.
Yeah, I know. In the end, I just called him a big racist. And he was like, okay, fair enough. But yeah, I want to do loads of that. I want to unlock loads of those mind things, but I can't, because every time I get a level up, I find myself having to level up a certain skill like authority in order so that I can then re-unlock the role against this person to then establish my authority against them. and one That's of the other okay. areas I got sidetracked in this week as well was I realized if I equipped my yellow bag that I've got. I've picked up a yellow plastic bag somewhere along the line. I've realized if I'm holding that as I play the game, I can pick up all the rubbish that's lying on the floor.
Yeah, you can pick up bottles and return them for small amounts of money.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, so you could collect bottles and cans, and then you can bring them to the market, and there's a place to return them for coinage. It's not a lot, but
what's the thing about the market? What the place next to the pub, the Whispering Inn?
Yeah, the sort of on the way to the shipyard. There's a pharmacy. I think it's a pharmacy. Yeah.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that. That's brilliant. That I'll probably have enough of my I probably have enough so that I can get my $20 so that I can sleep tonight. I don't know. That's just become a small obsession with me, just going around picking up all the trash that's like littered everywhere.
Yeah. And so I think the key with Titus is to get enough, basically get enough other evidence that you can kind of bully him into talking to you, right? Because you have to mention that, I don't know if you have to mention this, but one of the ways is to, when you look at the corpse, when you get the body down, you realize that there's actually, he's been shot. And he wasn't just hanged. Like it seems like he was, because everyone's talking about he was lynched, he was hanged. But it turns out he was shot first. You could figure out that he was shot before he was hanged. And so you mentioned that to Titus, and he sort of says, "Well, because they confessed to the murder, right?
They basically say, yeah, we hung him and his gang.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like as a mob, they can't be charged or convicted." Joyce said we need to find one person, a patsy, basically, that we can pin this on, and then it's going to stop a bloodbath with this strike that's going on downstairs or outside. Yeah, it's pretty cool because I can see it here. There's some things where he has a strange reaction to the bullet, Also, if you've spoken to Everett Clare and Everett asks him to cooperate, you've got to be really strong with him when you first meet him, which I failed. I was weak with him. There's warn about the tribunal, which I don't know what that is, and also found a witness, which I had done because I'd spoken to the Sunday witness, whatever his name was, with the smoking man.
The smoking man, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the warn about the tribunal is the that since they murdered the whoever this person was, the is he a rent-a-cop or who?
Yeah, basically. Do we know who he's like a rent-a-cop in robo-armor. I really want to meet one of them.
Yeah, so because they murdered him, I think it's you're saying, well, so they're going to come back at you, I think is what he's talking about with the tribunal. It's like the company is going to send a quote-unquote tribunal to deal with this if I don't deal with it, I think is what he's talking about. Yeah.
Now, I had a really strange moment here in the game. Because once you've done your authority check on him, he points you towards Khajiit.
Khaje.
Are we saying Khaleesi? He says like she was basically raped by the guy they hanged, and that's why they hung him. And you kind of get out of Tidus as well that he's kind of got feelings for this lady. And the first thing when I did this first time, I said to Kim or to Titus, like, I met her when I first woke up. I told her I didn't know who I was. I didn't know I was a cop and all these things. And then when I then next spoke to Titus, they gave me all negative points for the next check, which I think was like a rhetoric check.
Yep.
I was just like, no. But I went up and spoke to her. And in the middle of my starting the interview with her, my game crashed. And I have to say, like, this is the second time this game has crashed on the Switch for me, which is disappointing as well because you won't believe this, Frost. I own this game physically, and yet it crashes on the Switch for me. I'm just like, what's going on? Because the first time I started playing the game, the load times between screens were horrific. I mean, like a minute plus, and it was really bugging me. And then the game crashed. And then, like, my load times ever since have been fine. They've been, like, 10 seconds. And so I was just like, okay, the game obviously just was being weird. And then, then it crashed again just out of nowhere speaking to Khajiit. So I had to do this again. So the second time around, I played it cool when he mentioned her name. Okay. He was like, yep, I'm not gonna react to this. But then at this point, it was just basically a lot of back and forth between Khajiit and him. And did you do the? Did you manage to pass the check with Khaleesi where it's just like you have to stare into her eyes?
That I can't remember.
Because I loved this bit. The game went absolutely like off the rails on me.
What check is that?
I can't remember
if it's a physical check or if it's a mental. My mental, I was very mentally unstable the way I played it. I was very, I'm not sure. I think I showed her, I don't know. I remember how I did have an interaction with her where it ended up being, it was a good conversation. And I think she ended up telling me, well, I don't know. I don't want to spoil it because I'm.
Well, this was brilliant, right? I did a. I can't remember what the check was, but I did a check where I got to stare into her eyes, and I think it was like my it's like a compassion check or something, and basically it broke Harry's brain, where he was just like, she has got like it literally opened it up where it's just like. She's lying to you and she's got everyone wrapped around her finger, including parts of your brain. And then like the parts of your brain, like logic and stuff, start chiming in and we're going like, no, we're okay. She's definitely telling the truth. And it's just like, no, see, they're all on her side. And then by the time I went back downstairs and spoke to Titus and then came back upstairs and spoke to her for like the third interview to get the full story out of her, even other parts of his like logic and stuff were being like, still defending her until the very end where it was just like, oh my God, he's right. She's completely lying to us about everything. And then even like there are moments where Kim starts talking to her and you're this part of the, like, whatever this check was suddenly just keeps chiming in, going, see, he's under her power now as well. And then you go downstairs and speak to Titus, and he's like, this poor sod, he's completely under her spell. And I was just like, oh, wow. And it suddenly changed my complete way that I was interviewing her. Because I'd gone from being like, okay, I'm doing this softly, softly approach, and she's giving me the answers. And then it telling me that she's lying to you and she's got you wrapped around her finger made me just push her harder on stuff and be more mean to her. And I got loads more out of her. I was just like, this game, this is where this game shines.
Right, because I may or may not have had that entire experience, or it could have been completely different. I can't remember. But
you may have just punched her in the face.
No, that did not happen. I figured out she was lying, but I think it was from a logic check for something else. So I think might have been after I inspected the window. It might have been later.
Okay. Because
exactly when.
It was just so much fun. I just loved it. I opened up my Switch to have a look.
Did you go into the bookstore and go through the haunted...
It was a violation check.
Volition?
Volition, yeah, that was it. Hold yourself up together, keep your morale up. I did a volition check, and it just basically just completely broke.
I never would have passed that.
Yeah, there was like empathy, drama, and rhetoric were all arguing with each other, and logic. It was just like, this is brilliant. My inner monologue is like having a complete meltdown with each other.
But did you go into the haunted, did you go through the bookstore and inspect the like haunted back room?
Yeah, there's like with the bear fridge.
Yes. So there's an abandoned building back there behind the bookstore, and
it's all underneath ways, the flats.
Yeah, and there's a couple ways in, but I ended up just kicking the door down.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I convinced the lady that there was ghosts and she had to give me a key because I was a ghost whisperer.
I think I went back and I was like, there's a hole in your wall now.
I went back because there's a lady, if you go up to the top of it, there's a lady living up there who's making like D&D dice.
Yes.
And she's got a check, which I've been saving because I've only got like a 3% chance of passing it. And I really want to find out more about her. But there's a few things in there, because that's where there's like the radio. And there's like a radio, and you can stick a tube in a box, and then you can speak to people. And there's some sort of like giant, like radio wave D&D game going on.
Yeah, it's like a radio MMO RPG dealy or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just like, I want to find out more about this as well. And I think there's something else I can do with the bear fridge, which I haven't quite worked out either. But yeah, there's more mysteries there. And
there's a lot even in that one building. Yeah,
I'm still confused about what the blue door is for the inside the whispering, whatever it's called, the hotel.
Okay, that's next segment. You'll figure that out.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, that's been bugging the crap out of me. I spoke to the chef though, and I made him not put extra vodka in his stuff, which I instantly regretted. I was like, oh, I should have made him put more in. But it sounded like it was going to blow the place up if he put more in.
I'm trying to think of what else I did in this side quest. On this side, you talk to the leader of the scabs who's trying to get into the shipyard.
I did the I managed to finally pass the check for the wall. There's like a blank wall near where Kunoise is. So I'm very pleased about that. And I've managed to get the paintbrush off of the lady. But now I've got to get some red heavy fuel oil. And Kim wouldn't let me take it out of his car. And I fouled the check with the woman to get it off of her. So I've got to now find it from somewhere else. But that's kind of like my next thing that I desperately want to do. Other than reconstruct the wall. Scene. But yeah, essentially, I mean, let's actually talk about the reconstructing... Before the next segment of reconstructing the murder, after speaking to Titus, he says like the guy raped Khajiit. Khajiit says no, he didn't rape me. Titus goes, well look, we've got this tape which kind of proves that he was going to rape her, and then we listen to the tape and like, no, this isn't really good evidence. It's just him being a jerk. And then we show it to Khajiit, and she's like, yeah, that's just kind of just what he was like. He was all bravado. And then we go back to Titus, and he gets really angry about it. And then when we go back to Khajiit, we work out the fact that she was actually in the middle of having sex with the guy when a bullet came through the window and killed him while he was on top of her. And then it all kind of just comes out from there. She like went downstairs. The eighth Hardy boy, who is this mystery lorry lady, helped her out. And we think there might have been some sort of weird love triangle going on with the lorry lady. And then we kind of get into the next segment of starting to actually reconstructing the crime scene and trying to work out like so where this bullet came from.
Right. And we'll talk about in seeing if you pass the investigation on the window or next time. Right? That's for...
I want to say now.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, have you had any favorite clothing or items that you prefer to carry around?
For a long time, I was carrying around the torch and shining in people's faces.
Yeah,
which
me
was
too.
Quite fun. Again, like I say, I've now switched to carrying my plastic bag everywhere, so I look like a good hobo. And then from speaking to the Sunday witness, which is the guy inside the smoking witness's hotel, I found like a Japanese fisherman's hat and like a Japanese kimono. And I've been wearing that with some really bad gloves. And of course, my best friend, the horrific necktie. So I currently look absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a picture on Discord.
I think I've been... I'm trying to remember exactly what I was wearing at that time, but I was mostly focusing on perception and things like that, so I wouldn't miss anything while I was walking by. Oh, yeah, you look great.
That is a look. Oh, yeah, actually, you're right. I've got glasses on that give me -1 perception. I need to change those.
So I have, I think I had boots. I got boots at some point, which gave you more perception because you were like literally taller, I think was the, you could see better.
I love stuff like that.
I did not wear the necktie. I think I put on the necktie and it started talking to me and I was like, nope, I'm opting out of this. And I never put it back on.
Oh, so speaking of the necktie, I was convinced that this was the voice actor from Ni No Kuni and the White Witch who plays Dippy, which is like your little weird nose thing that follows you around everywhere. But it's not. It's just someone shouting in a crazy Welsh accent.
All right. Yeah, I think I was carrying around a wrench at some point. Just... and the flashlight.
Yeah, I'm quite often walking around with some wire cutters.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, like I said, I'm all about the plastic bag hobo look at the moment. That's my favourite thing. And yeah, also, when you put the big ghetto tape player thing next to your head and he carries it around like an old-fashioned boombox.
Yes.
I like that as well. Cool. So how was you feeling at this stage of the game, Frost?
Well, I think I was doing good because I blew through this segment and did half of the next one at the same time. So I think at this point I was kind of hooked. So I think I was trying to look back at what a comment I left, and it was on it was in November, early November. And I said I finished segments 2 and 3 within an hour of each other because I had done so much of segment 3 before I actually managed to talk to Clage. Because I think I kept failing those checks with Titus, so I just had to keep doing more and more side stuff, and I ended up doing half of the next segment before I could get my checks to pass for that. So it says I didn't have trouble interviewing the Hardy boys because I basically just tried to intimidate them because I had physical instrument as my... there was one guy in the back you could kind of break while you're talking to him. He's very intimidated, and so you can kind of scare one of the other Hardy boys, and then Titus has to stand up for him, and that's sort of a way in, I think. But there's a lot of different ways to do this, so I was definitely in at this point. I think the first segment, I think I was talking about falling asleep playing the game, but I think I was a lot better off. Once we hit here,
I think that was more this. That was more for me in this game. This was the sort of slightly more boring segment, just because I got at the beginning of day two, I was just like, I've got no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I was just like, just running around doing just really random stuff. But then after a while, like, the game really picked up for me. And yeah, doing all the sort of the checks and the weird stuff with Khaleesi and having a complete like mental breakdown over it, really started to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good. I kind of want to play it again, even though I don't have time. So I'll add it to my replay list at some point.
Well, you can do a speed run if you want to punch Kuno in the face.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, speaking of which, we'll skip over your feedback.
Yep.
But you know, you could do it if you want. You could, because you say something about Shivers here.
Oh yeah, so Shivers is one of those abilities that kind of alerts you that there's something in the area that you should be paying attention to. And so, you know, I'll walk by something and you'll get the shivers and it'll be like, there's a something's going on in the, you know, up by the bookstore or something. And then you'll know to like go investigate over there. So that's actually been really helpful, I think, to have shivers as one of my points of where I've added points. Oh, by the way, I would ask you, so when the way I played it is I basically didn't put any points into anything until I needed to, I wanted to pass a check, and then I would go dump points into it. you know, I'd back out of the conversation and dump my points in if I wanted to do something. I don't know if that's really the best, the fairest way to play it, but that's the way I was sort of managing it.
Yeah, well, when I set up my character, I went for like intellect 4, psyche 3, physic 1, and motronics 4. I'd have to say Motronics was a big waste of time for me because it's something I barely use at all. I don't know if it's
like
doing
stuff. Well, it'll
come up later. Oh, good. Okay. Because I don't know if it's doing stuff in the background that I'm not sure of. But yeah,
used it to make that jump, right?
Yeah, I did. But I had to sort of take my shoes off, take my trousers off in order to make the jump. But yeah, so like I put a lot of stuff into conceptualization just because I wanted to do that wall. So that hasn't fully paid off for me yet. And then most of the other things I've been doing is all to do with psyche. Like I've actually maxed out Inland Empire now. I've got 8 on that and I've got a little crown on it because I chose it as one of my specialties. And that's really good. It just gives me like hunches and feelings while I'm in the waking world. And it really sort of puts me on the right track for things. And sometimes it just comes in, it's just like, you should push on this person, they're lying to you. And then it's just like, then you look at the options below, you're like, oh, okay, option 3 is going to be the best one for that then. And yeah, so I've been doing that. And like I say, Violition managed to completely break my brain when talking to Khajiit. But yeah, it's just so fun the way you could just do so many different things. Because at one point I was thinking in this game, like, I feel like I'm on a very linear path. And like I have to do all this stuff, and it's been great talking to you. And you'd just be like, "Oh no, I didn't do any of that. None of that mattered. It mattered to me, goddammit."
One thing I noticed, so I was putting points into things like logic and history. I think so. I'd have some, you know, background while I was. And
I've started finding history slightly annoying.
Yes. Well, every time you talk to anyone, it's like, "Here's what happened in 1635." With the, you know, but. There's actually a thing where, like, for certain, I don't know if it's for all of them, but for certain skill checks, I don't know if it's logic or if it's one of the logic ones. If you have too many points in it, then you can actually like get something wrong because you like overanalyze the situation and it tells you the wrong thing. Because you like go off in these tangents about how, well, it could be this or this or this or this. And it's like if you were just a little bit dumber, you would have figured it out directly. So it's really interesting.
Oh, I love that. JS. Well, actually, we only got feedback from JS and Caslo for this section, which is a little bit disappointing. But, you know, good to see they're playing along. He says, definitely got a lot going on in this section. Also, lots of interesting side quests available in addition to interviewing the witnesses. I painted a wall. Oh, you bastard. That's my quest. He sang karaoke. Ah, so that does happen. Made peace with Kuno, which I did. Explored the hidden room in the bookstore, which we spoke about, and investigated the drug trade amongst the lorry drivers. I love how the investigation takes some twists and turns throughout the course of the interviews, especially when you leverage what you know against the witnesses. They all come clean and tell a story that seems to fit with each other's accounts and the evidence so far. This game is tough to put down now. I'm on day 3. and I have been to the other side of the lock. Oh, I haven't done that yet. Just long enough to finish Everett's quest to get the signatures. Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not being his puppet anymore. Can't wait to continue looking for Ruby and finding my gun. I think I did find out her name was Ruby. okay. I did end up stumbling and finding on my badge, which I don't know if I should click on that spoiler. And I'm going to click
finding
on
your badge. No.
He said, I did end up stumbling upon finding my badge and learning that we destroyed a $4,000 real car during our drunk bender before the start of the game.
Yeah, you'll see that in the next day when you cross the river.
Okay, yeah, because I just started day three. I had to start day three to get Titus back into the pub. Have him drinking beer at 9 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, okay, I'll look forward to that. Yeah, because I had a conversation with a little girl outside the bookstore, and it turned out that she'd seen me running around the streets in my pants. And apparently I've been talking to her regularly on a drunken bender for an entire week. I had no idea who she was. She's like, I love finding out all the stuff you've done drunk while you're in this game. And then we have some audio feedback from Caslo.
This section was slightly frustrating, primarily from not knowing where the section ended. But I guess that's a problem with non-linear games. And spoilers. It didn't help that I also had to save Scum several checks, just to move the story forward. However, it also made me really start focusing on what gear I was wearing and taking advantage of bonuses from smoking and drinking. From a story perspective, I like that we're really getting into solving the mystery. Walking through the process of breaking down the Hardy Boys, and then poking hole in Klasky's story to really get to the truth of what was actually going on was really engaging. I've also had a few fun bad endings so far, including one where I took myself out to prove how crazy I was in front of the Hardy Boys. Now it's time to buckle down, cross the canal, and find the murderer.
Well, that's a new way of doing it.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have thought like taking yourself out in front of the Hardy Boys was even a question. Although I did find the key in the window behind the Cardi Boys. Oh, that's what I mean. There's just so much stuff in this game. Dada, did you find that key?
Yes. Yeah.
I think it might be for the blue door, but I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Maybe. And that's it.
I did go back into the main chat, and it looks like Aerobi was playing, Tin Smasher was playing, Skelly was playing, Marn was playing. So maybe for segment three, we put out the segment three feedback again to see what people think. Because there is a lot of conversation going on in here.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people did play along, but we didn't get a lot of feedback. So people, the threads are still alive. You can find them. Yeah, there's only yourself and Caslo. Yourself, JS, and Caslo for the feedback. Oh, Garasaki does give some feedback for chapter 4.
Okay.
I did ping Aerobi, but he didn't answer. No one answered the call. Yeah, okay. I might put a thing in segment 4 to ask for extra feedback on the ending of the game. But yeah, we'll go from there. All right, everyone.
Mentioned Mike found a D-make, a Game Boy D-make version of this, which is in the chat from November 8th, if anyone's interested in going and tracking that down.
Yeah, I did. I remember seeing that and having a look at it. It looked really funny. good. All right, then. Let's boogie on down and move on to our outro, Frost.
All right.
Disco discotheque. Corey, man, what are you doing? This game's brilliant. I know I couldn't keep up with it, with illnesses and Christmas, but this game, I am really enjoying this game. Just to clarify, Scott did say that they just found it too chat heavy. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I said to Scott, oh, that isn't going to get any better. He was like, yeah, we're not going to play it anymore. Like, guys, come on.
I think Scott could probably stream it and have the chat make the decisions for him.
That would be amazing. This would be such a good streaming game because of just the absolute bonkersness that happens. And he wouldn't have to do any of the voices either.
Right.
There we go, Scott. Me and Frost, we want to nominate this for your next stream game if you get a chance. Just for fun. Don't worry about the club. Just for fun. It's short. You'll love it. It's crazy. But yes, so... So we're now looking deep into our future, Frost. The Breath of Fire 3 review's happened. We've done Legend of Dagoon Segment 2. So we've done Disco Segment 2. So next week, in theory, will be Legend of Dagoon Segment 3.
Yes.
I mean,
how many dragons will we have by then?
I don't know. I haven't even got one dragon yet. So, but I probably have. I've probably got more than one dragon by now. Who knows? But yeah, and then hopefully, I think, maybe come back for segment 3 of Disco. Should we finish Disco before we go back to Final Fantasy VI?
Oh, geez. Well, we'll see. It depends on how far you get. Because I could do 6 whenever, so...
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've played 6 enough times in my life that I feel like I could just sit down in a chair at any moment and review that game. But I would like it to be a bit more fresh in my brain. But I think let's plow through Disco because that was an official club. So, and then I'll do 6 as an unofficial.
All right. So next week, Legend of Dragoon, segment 3. Get your feedback in, people.
Yep, get your feedback in. Very important, okay? I'm terrible at asking people for feedback, but you must get your feedback in. What was level 3? Segment 3.
Segment 3 is to...
Princess
Emil. I haven't finished 2 yet. No.
Meet Princess Emil by February 25th.
Okay, spoilers.
I vaguely know what I'm doing. Good stuff. All right, everybody. So, this has been the RPG Years. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can contact us via email at rpgafteryears@gmail.com. And the best place to come find us is at the Discord, isn't it, Frost?
Yes, that's where it's all happening.
That's where it all happens. So we do all of our organization. I've basically 99% abandoned Twitter or X, whatever it's called nowadays, just because I just really struggle to find time with social media.
Yeah.
Playing too many games. I can't go on social media. I've got to play games. any other way that you want to come and interact with us, I'm sure you can find it. Links to the Discord below. And if you do want to contact us on Twitter at RPGYears, I will occasionally respond. So fair enough. Again, next week, Legend of Dagoon. And I've not got much else to say. I think we just need to get our disco pants on, Frost, and Saturday Night Fever it over to next week.
That's right. I'll see you guys next time.
All right. See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.